This is Sunday Conversations. Sunday Conversations is a presentation of Davis Broadcasting, Inc. in cooperation with Russell Innovation Center for Entrepreneurs, a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
Hello and welcome to another Sunday Conversations on Smooth Jazz 101, Smooth Jazz 100. I'm your host, Ashley Scott, with the Russell Innovation Center for Entrepreneurs. And today we talk to another phenomenal stakeholder, Ms. Amanita Thomas of Georgia's House of Etiquette. Good morning, Amanita.
Good morning, Ashley.
Welcome to the show, and I'm excited to talk with you today about how you got started as an entrepreneur and how you decided to start the House of Etiquette.
Thank you for having me. Actually, someone saw something in me that came naturally and encouraged me to capitalize on it. My daughter was with the Martin Luther King Jr. Children's Choir out of Raleigh, North Carolina, and as a new parent or family, I was interviewed and told the director of my artistic background that included piano playing, a pageant title holder, and event planning. He told me about a protocol school in D.C. where embassy staff, ambassadors, C-suite level, and support personnel go to get groomed or refined or simply perfectly polished. This protocol school had a sister school in Athens, Georgia, that was dedicated to children programming, you know, the debutante balls, cotillions, botillions. The Etiquette and Leadership Institute, it's where I have my certification from. I chose this training facility as opposed to the DC establishment because adults are sometimes like children, and it gives me a broader reach in activities for my participants.
Okay, so now as an African-American business owner, you are always going to find challenges. I can only imagine that even trying to be in the etiquette space might not have a lot of representation. So I'm curious to know, what were some of the challenges or unique challenges you faced on this journey of entrepreneurship and how you might have overcome them?
Quite a few challenges. Just kind of keep it moving. So one challenge as a divorced single parent for me was having this business and raising an only child. And there were times and days where I had to give up business or entrepreneurial endeavors because I had a volleyball game to go to. I had a golf tournament to go support her with. And it was in a moment where I realized this business, it's kind of like a child too.
Mm-hmm.
And so it became, that was a pivotal moment for me where I had to make a choice and decision. It's a challenge, and it made me grow a little bit better for that. But now as an empty nester, I am, the time is there for me to have and to do. And then also I wanted to add on to, as an African-American in this realm of teaching etiquette and mannerisms, I definitely do break some stereotypes, because I think that a lot of people, when I walk into certain rooms, they're expecting a blonde hair, blue-eyed, 6 foot,
mm-hmm. yeah.
6 foot four tall woman there with etiquette and mannerisms, speaking in a British accent,
yep.
and they get me with locks and African American woman, and I know English, so it definitely is challenging, especially for some of the college students that I get to speak to and talk to that are told they can't show up certain ways, and so. Trying to make them understand there's appropriateness for certain things, and it depends on industry, but never sacrificing themselves at the expense of a career. So
there's always just a financial hurdle to starting businesses. I'd love to know, how have you been able to grow and scale, and what are some of the ways that you went around financing and building this business up? I can't imagine that it's easy to get someone to give you working capital for an etiquette class.
Yeah, no, it's not easy. So a lot of my funding is self-funded, mm-hmm. From years of savings and maybe dipping a little bit into the retirement. But if I had some advice to give my younger self, I would say put a line item in the budget,
mm-hmm.
the monthly budget, to put aside for growing your business. Because eventually, I think as people, we have that pivotal moment in time where we just don't want to work for nobody,
mm-hmm.
but ourselves. And it's okay to feel that way, but be prepared to do that. So for me, I'm just self-financed, and and definitely will be looking for funding, and because there has to be some skin in the game as you grow a business. I definitely believe that.
So what are some of the things that people say after getting an experience with the House of Etiquette when they get the opportunity to learn these new skills?
So the young kids, and we're talking about maybe the teenagers and the young adults, I get the, I didn't know that. Or I get, oh, my mom and dad told me about this, but I didn't really believe them. The older adults from retreats and workshops, I hear, I forgot about this. Oh, they still do this? Yes, we still remove our hats from the table when we're going out different places. So it's validation for some, and others are just simply grateful for someone like me that is still doing it, still keeping it alive and in traditional sense with regards to legacy in the history of our community.
So what's the plan for expansion for the House of Etiquette? Is it more team members teaching classes? What's the big vision for you?
You know, people always get nervous when they talk about expanding the house in real life anyway. So I think for me, all I want to do right now is maintain the house. Eventually, I would love houses nationally.
Okay.
I would love houses of etiquette that will reach certain populations. Like for me right now in this season, I want to reach foster care, kids that are coming out of the foster care system that don't get a chance to attend a cotillion, a debutante ball, or a botillion. I want to reach public school students that don't get a chance for these opportunities, that don't have an affiliation or a connection to a Greek organization or a Masonic organization to be a part of their botillion or cotillion activities. And I want to reach women that are grown who may want to have a debutante ball and they didn't get a chance to have one. And so it's my 30 and 40 year olds that get a chance to kind of recreate that for them so that they can experience that.
I love that. I think about myself. I'm a member of a sorority, Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority, and we have cotillions, and I've never actually participated. And I could see the value as an adult wanting to have that experience. So I'd love to learn more about how and share with our audience how they can get in touch with you to create these kinds of experiences.
Sure. Right now, the best way to get in touch with me is through my website, www.thehouseofetiquette.com, and be sure you know how to spell the word etiquette, E-T-I-Q-U-E-T-T-E, and you should find me there.
So looking ahead, I'm still curious, what is, you know, your big goal for maybe this year or next year, something that you can say, I accomplished this and I got support from my community to do it?
I think because I'm new to Atlanta, I'm about 2 years old to the Atlanta area, a good point for me, a good event would be having a botillion for young men and probably a grown woman's debutante ball for those that didn't get it in the fall or even a Christmas cotillion. So those two signature events, if I could have those in the next year, I'd be happy and I'd be satisfied. I can kick up my heels and be like, ah, I did something. I contributed to the community.
What kind of support do you need to be able to accomplish that?
I need support from, for at least a botillion, I need support from male organizations where I can, where young men are a part of, young adults, that 17 to 22 age range where they can kind of understand. I need support from organizations that are in need of someone to help organize or coordinate their particular botillions or cotillions. That would be phenomenal for me, so that way I can kind of keep my skill sets fresh.
I think that's pretty cool. Do you have other people competition, and what do you feel sets you apart from these other etiquette training sessions or things that might be out here?
So I do have competition, but I don't like to refer to them as competition because we're all trying to do the same thing, and there's lots of incivility out here. So I don't, we're not in competition for clients because everybody needs these skill sets.
Right.
And the way that the world is now today, I don't think that we all need to fight for anything.
Absolutely.
So what sets me apart is I try to go to where my clients are at. I don't have a quote unquote physical house, but I go where they're at. I bring experience to the table. I've traveled, international experience. So there have been some places that I've been in and have seen, places from the UK, Secret Service in DC, agents that need to be trained in certain skill sets when they go into certain scenarios. So I have some skill sets that I'd like to share and get everyone prepared for those moments in time.
So you spend a lot of time working with young people and helping to increase their etiquette skills. What advice would you give to young people who might be interested in becoming an entrepreneur?
Not only young people, but also some adults out here.
Okay.
My advice is to learn the game of chess.
Mm. Why do you say that?
Learning chess offers numerous benefits, both for personal development and cognitive abilities. Some main benefits are enhanced concentration, enhanced planning and strategy, improved decision-making skills, increased emotional intelligence. It involves managing your emotions such as frustration, disappointment, and excitement, which we all need as entrepreneurs. And also social interaction and sportsmanship. It can be played offline, online, so people have access to chess. So play it, learn it, and be able to transition it in your entrepreneurial journey is my recommendation for young people or for all people.
I love that. And then you mentioned like even stress being something that can help with, chess being something that can help with stress and emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. As an entrepreneur, we all know that it can be challenging. So what do you do for self-care?
So what I do is I take the time to take care of myself, because if I don't, no one else will. And so for me right now in this season, simply stretching, yoga is good for me. And I have a monthly goal is to climb one of these great, beautiful Georgia mountains once a month, or hike it. They don't climb it, they hike. So that's what I'm trying to do to put Amanita first as she takes care of the house.
Well, you are a Rice stakeholder. And you've been a Rice stakeholder for about a year or so. You're one of our newer stakeholders. And I'm curious to know, what has your experience been? What has the impact been being a part of our entrepreneurial ecosystem?
I've had a great experience. Rice has impacted my business by giving me tools and helping me cultivate foundational entrepreneurial skill sets that's needed for my business development. Rice has supported me in giving me access to new partnerships. They're very intentional in what they do. This is a community of like-minded people on the same journey who are not only helpful, but they're very insightful in what they do.
Well, thank you, Amanita. I want to give you the last word. Is there anything else you want to share with our audience before you get out of here today?
I just want everyone to be nice to one another and be civil and have the courage to call people out when they make mistakes and bad behaviors. Quietly call them out on that. So that would make the world a little bit better.
I totally agree. Let's be a little more civil with each other. Thank you so much for your insights today, Amanita. It was such a pleasure to hear your story and your journey into building the house of etiquette. And I hope more people are going to connect with you to get these civility skills, if you will.
Thanks for having me, Ashley. I appreciate the opportunity. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings to you. And you listeners, thank you for tuning in to another Sunday Conversations. I'm Ashley Scott with the Russell Innovation Center for Entrepreneurs, and you can find out more information on today's episode by clicking the Sunday Conversation tab at smoothjazzatl.com.
Tune in every Sunday at 11 a.m. as we celebrate innovation, perseverance, and the entrepreneurial spirit. Sunday Conversations, hosted by Ashley Scott, only on Smooth Jazz 101, Smooth Jazz 100.
Sunday Conversations is a pre-recorded program produced by the staff from Davis Broadcast. The ideas expressed are not that of Davis Broadcast. Guests are stakeholders of the nonprofit organization, the Russell Innovation Center for Entrepreneurs. This program may contain advertising sponsors who also do not necessarily share the beliefs expressed during the program.